We caught up with Peter Greenberg. He could not join us live. He's in France, of course. He's the CBS News travel editor, the host of Eye on Chicago on WGN on Saturdays from 5 to 7. So, or Eye on Travel, right? Eye on Travel. I just read. I thought, that reminds me of the old show we used to do called Eye on Travel on WGN Saturdays from 5 to 7. Okay. So, just before the show, I asked him where he was and how's the weather.
Nice to be over here at a time when travel's coming back, and the weather's actually been cooperating, so that's nice.
Yeah, and we don't have that luxury here. A lot of flights canceled in Chicago yesterday. I'll ask you about that in a minute. But on that front, it seems like sometimes flights get canceled, and it's not a weather issue. It's not even a mechanical issue. And I suspect that it might be a pilot issue. Do the airlines have staff for summer travel this year?
They do not. And it's not just pilots. It's the people who work, as they say, below the wing, the ground handlers, the luggage loaders. We're about 3,000 pilots down from where we were last year, and they tried to add more flights. The math just doesn't work. What the airlines tried to do at one point was just to preemptively cancel flights. Then they tried to preemptively cancel routes. JetBlue earlier this year canceled 27 routes for the summer. That's unheard of. That didn't quite solve the problem. And then last week, American actually did something else. They literally grounded 100 planes. And the reason, they had to admit, they did not have the pilots to fly them. But that's just the beginning of the problem. Because you have baggage loaders that are way down in terms of numbers. Airlines in the last 6 months have lost or misplaced 21% more luggage than they did a year ago. And that's not a good indication of where we are.
Maybe good advice then would be, if you have the option, carry your bag on rather than check it, huh?
Well, that's always been my option. You know, I've always believed there are only two kinds of airline bags. Carry on and lost, but that's an entirely different segment for us.
Well, but you know, it's funny that they would put those flights on the board if they knew that they didn't have the staff for them. I mean, where did this shortage come
Here's
from?
Here's the problem. It came from during the pandemic when the airlines were getting all that federal aid. That federal aid was predicated on one thing that was non-negotiable. The airlines couldn't lay anybody off, they couldn't fire anybody, and they didn't. But the airlines are still looking to generate cash and cut their expenses. So they then began offering pilots and other employees early buyouts, packages, to like leave the company. And they thought maybe 4% of the company might do it. In some cases, up to 15%, they all took it. So that when travel came back, they were way understaffed and they were overscheduled. The scheduling folks were not talking to the operations guys. Then you throw in a little bit of weather and you know what happens next.
So is there any way, if I've got a trip planned this summer, for me to anticipate the probability that my flight's going to go off or go off on time?
There actually is. It's a little bit of a crapshoot, but you can do it. What I do is I always pick the first flight of the day. And if I'm leaving from an airport, not O'Hare necessarily, that is not an airline hub. So if I'm leaving from O'Hare and I'm flying on, let's say, Delta, that applies. And I would ask the airline, is the very first flight that I'm flying on tomorrow morning, did that airplane overnight at O'Hare the night before? And if the answer is yes, there's a reasonably good chance that the flight crew stayed with the plane, I'll get out. That's what I've been doing for the rest of the summer.
How do you do that? How do you talk to the airline and get that information? Where in the world is that available?
Oh, it's available on their screens, not what you're seeing on your screen. That's why you have to have a conversation. You call the number for reservations at the airline, and you can say, you can even ask them, what's the tail number of the plane assigned for my flight? And they'll say, well, it's tail number 409. And you go, okay, great. Where is tail number 409 right now? And will it overnight in Chicago tonight? And if the answer is yes, it's not an American or United flight, then guess what? There's a reasonably good chance that flight crew is staying with the plane. If it's the first flight out in the morning, you're on it.
Will they be able to adjust the prices of the tickets because of their increased fuel cost? I presume the price I've paid sticks. It's not variable.
Right. The price you paid sticks, but if you haven't made a reservation yet, get ready to fasten your seatbelt, because two things are at work here. Number one, obviously the cost of fuel. Number two, supply and demand. More people traveling, fewer planes. And then the last but not least, the decision last week by the Biden administration to get rid of the pre-departure testing rule for people flying back to the United States, which gave the green light to a lot of people in the U.S. who were sitting on the fence and didn't want to go overseas and then get tested positive to want to go over. So international airfares right now are soaring. in the last 72 hours.
How do you judge that decision by the administration? Was that a good one?
I think it was long overdue. I'll tell you why. Because the metrics that are being used right now may be misapplied. It's not the metrics of the caseload. It's the metrics of hospitalizations and deaths and vaccination levels. Now, if the caseloads are going up and the hospitalizations are going up, that's a different story, but they're not. And so we were the last holdout country in the world of any significance to require the pre-departure tests. Other countries were lobbying us. It was an economic issue. We were being disenfranchised from lots of revenue, both from returning passengers and outgoing passengers. And economics at the end won out. It won out.
Well, I'm glad that economics won out because it just seemed to make sense as well. And hanging over the head of every American traveling abroad since the rule went into effect was the shadow of, am I going to pass the test to come back in? And that really put a cloud on vacations or travel, you know?
That's right. People just decided they weren't going to go and risk it. Now, I'm talking to you today from France. My nose thanks the government because I'm amazed I still have one left. I've been tested so much.
Oh, really? They do the nasal swab? Is that how it's been going for you everywhere?
Absolutely. So when I come home, for the first time in a long time, I don't have to go get tested. And remember, I have my vaccinations. I'm double boosted, so I think I'm in pretty good shape. But bottom line is, for everybody else who was worried about getting tested positive overseas, which, by the way, could still happen in other areas like cruise ships, which are requiring test to get on the ships if you're boarding overseas, that's still a possibility. But just to get on a flight to come home now, you don't have to take that test.
One last thing, Peter, and that is domestic travel. Any advice for destinations or time to buy tickets or time to travel this summer?
Well, the problem right now is the horses have left the barn just about. Airfares are hugely high. I mean, hugely high is sort of redundant, but I mean, my airfare from L.A. to New York was $300 6 weeks ago. It's $1,200 now. That's multiplied by four. If you're a family of four, you can't afford that, nor should you. So everybody's jumping in the car, even with high gas prices. We haven't reached the tipping point yet where Americans are going to stop driving based on the high cost of tickets. But we're going into a denial period where we're going to not deny ourselves a restaurant dinner or a new set of clothing or a new car in order to be able to do our summer travel.
That's interesting because I noticed my anecdote yesterday on the radio was I saw so many people shopping, and maybe that same sort of pent-up demand, I'm not going to be denied anymore, is going to apply to travel. It does make you think, though, if you live in Chicago, maybe I'll just go to Michigan rather than, you know, Los Angeles.
Exactly. Oh, yeah, people are going to make changes based on those real tough costs, and they're only going to get higher as we get through the summer.
Well, it's a pleasure to talk to you, as always, Peter. We always enjoy your show on weekends on WGN, and it's always a pleasure just to find out where is Carmen Sandiego, Peter Greenberg, and this time he is in France. It's nice to talk to you. Thanks for your help today, sir.
You got it, John.